before their hashtags.
A dissection of pop culture past.
With Eric Dallinger.
And Carly Anna Billings.
Each week we hop in our time machine and take a look at the past of pop culture. Hey friends, and welcome to the Before There Were Hashtags podcast. Woo! My name is Eric Dallinger, and I am, of course,
what?
Here with the beautiful,
what?
The wonderful,
no!
The always here.
It's always me, always here.
Carly Anna Billings.
That is me. Hello, I'm here. And so are you. We're here together. What?
We are, and we're in person.
Yeah. We love it. It's a great joy to finally get to be back together in person, and it's the best. We love it.
And we're recording at 10:30 at night because it's summer.
Oh my gosh, is it ever hot though, Eric?
Yes.
What the heckaroo? So please, if you hear any hum in the background, it's my air conditioner for my house. So please,
yep,
forgive us, because guess what? It is hot, and yep, we need to stay, you know, alive. So we have the
it
air conditioner running.
40 degrees with the Humidex today.
Wow. Climate change.
Southern Ontario.
Yeah. It's been a time and a half. That's for dang sure. Eric, how's your week been?
My week has been a little crazy. I started teaching summer camp.
Oh, yes. In this heat? In this economy?
Yeah. So because of COVID restrictions, teaching dance has to be outside. So yes, I taught acro today. Underneath a tent, and yeah, if the sun shined on the mats, it burned the kids' feet. Well, no, didn't really, but they did complain.
If your child is burnt, they're burnt.
Yeah, they totally did complain about that.
That is a new thing, I bet, to have to feel, you know, questions and concerns on is, my mat's too hot.
Yep.
That doesn't happen in studio.
Also, because of the restrictions, we're not allowed to sing outside because of spitting.
Oh, my God.
So there's just a lot going on.
It's a whole thing. It's really a whole thing. That is wild. I feel so sorry for you, so sorry for kids. And it's just a wild time. But at least, at the very least, you getting to spread that joy of dance.
Meh. I'm just kidding. Yeah, it was acro week, so teaching kids how to do cartwheels.
Oh my gosh.
Feel so accomplished in
life.
See,
I don't remember ever being taught to do a cartwheel. I just, like, kind of remember doing them.
A lot of them can already do it, but they do, they have sloppy mistakes.
Right, you gotta perfect those lines. Yeah,
you gotta perfect those lines. Point those feet.
Yes.
Continue the line.
Yes.
And kids always want to do fast cartwheels.
Right, and they always look bad.
And here's the thing. A slow cartwheel is way harder.
Yeah, you got to balance. You got to use your body.
Got to use your core.
Yeah.
We also teach them to do, you know, one-handed.
Ooh, those are fun.
Crossover.
Ooh, you're spicing it up.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Crossover are one-handed, but you use the back arm instead of the front arm.
Ooh. Juicy. Juicy.
I am a Simone Biles over here.
It's you. Oh my God, Simone, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. I love your work.
Gabby Douglas. Who else? Nastia Lukin. Is that another gymnast?
Honestly, Simone, that's all I got. That's all I've got in mind.
Simone Biles is amazing.
Amazing. What an athlete.
Oh, what an athlete.
What technique. What beautiful, you know, everything.
Not to comment on, like, girls' bodies, but she is so strong looking.
No, she's strong.
She's like her hip, like her shoulder to hip ratio is
incredible.
Yeah. And it, like, that's like celebrating how strong she is.
Yeah. Like if you want to see a strong woman, right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like strong.
Lori Hernandez, that's another gymnast.
Mm, there you go.
Basically, I'm just naming all the ones that were on Dancing with the Stars. Because that's how I know them.
That's how you know. That's your in for gymnasts. I love that.
Lori Hernandez won Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, really?
And then I think they tried to recreate it the next year with Simone Biles, and they
didn't work out.
Simone Biles is not as likable as a personality, and that's not meant to be, like,
she's unlikable.
No, yeah, no, she's not just that. She's more serious. I think that was at the end of the day. She's just
took it so seriously.
She took it too seriously.
She's a hard worker.
She's a hard worker. She just took it too seriously for Dancing with the Stars, and it's where it's like with the Stars. Dancing with the Stars wanted to show personality, and like she took
she
it.
She was there to work.
She worked.
Yeah.
And I think that's why she didn't win, unfortunately, because I think. Yeah. I mean, Dancing with the Stars is 50% a personality contest.
Oh yeah, that's what it's there for. Yeah, it's to be like a fun time vehicle for people to show a different side of themselves.
I love Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, you're a Dancing with the Stars stan.
I love it, and I love it for the professional dancers because they're just so incredible.
Yeah.
Like I can name them. True. I can name them all because they're just so good.
Yeah, you love
Winnie
them.
Carson, Sharna Burgess is so good. Valentin Shmerkovsky. I love all the Russian names because half them are Russian.
Incredible.
Ugh, they're so cool.
See, I love hanging with you because then I'll never miss a good moment of Dancing with the Stars.
But you don't
just
have
show
to
show them to me, and I don't have to go through all the other
the
moments.
Show.
I just get to know the good highlights because you'll. I know you'll show them to me. At some
My
point.
Favorite
it's
contestant
amazing.
Was definitely Heather Morris, who should not have been on. Like, what an she. You know that Heather Morris made it to the top 40 on So You Think You Can Dance, a second season, which is the best season of So You Think You Can Dance, by the way. Is the second season, and then was one of Beyonce's backup dancers, and then was basically hired on Glee
as a dancer,
and then transitioned into being an actress. But still, loved that she was on the show.
They were like, I mean, "Let's have a real dancer."
To be fair, like, yeah, she's like a real dancer, but they've had real dancers on the show, like,
right?
Let's be real, like Alfonso Ribeiro has been on Broadway. Like,
yeah, that's a dancer.
He was a dancer.
Let's
he's
serious.
Like a little older and more known as an actor,
right?
Professionally,
but still. What's a dancer?
Corbin Bleu was literally hired in High School Musical to be a dancer with a few lines in the first one. Like,
that's true. And then people were like, that's Corbin Bleu.
Yeah, and then he was on Dancing with the Stars. He's a dancer.
He's a dancer. He also was in Jump In, where they did jump rope and dancing.
He's in the Heights on Broadway.
Oh, like, that's true. Yeah, like, that's probably what I should have led with. Yeah.
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 I think he played you Snobby. Or did he play Benny? I'm not sure.
I don't remember. I'm not a good touch point for In the Heights, if I'm going to be honest.
I'm not a good touch point. As a musical theater person, I kind of suck.
Yeah,
in terms
I feel
of
so inadequate with
my
stuff
knowledge.
Like that.
People will talk. No. People are like, I love Cynthia Erivo. And I love Karen Olivo. I'm like, a lot of Olivos over here. But people, like, name drop these, like, Broadway performers.
Yeah.
And yes, I can too. But I haven't seen any of them in anything because I don't go to Broadway. I don't go to New York that often.
I saw Cynthia Erivo in Color Purple. It was one
she's incredible.
It was one of the best things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I've never witnessed a crowd jump to their feet in the middle of a show before so quickly and so earnestly than after she sang I'm Here. It was amazing. I still can't believe I saw it to this day.
Laura Osnes. That's another name that I, like,
everybody always
talks
everybody
about.
Everybody always talks about Laura Osnes. That's true.
Which, cool, I love.
You're like, great, good for you.
As somebody that gets obsessed with things and doesn't stop talking about them, like, I talk about BTS all the time. I have no issue with people geeking out about what they love.
Yeah, but that's true. As, like, quote-unquote, like, we grew up as, quote-unquote, theater kids. I mean, then we transitioned into, like, professional performers. For professional performers and, like, musical theater performers, you and I together hardly ever talk about musical theater, one, and two, I think both of us maybe feel that other people are better suited to talk about musicals.
Well, you know what, I think it's actually I talk about the three spheres in your life, so you have I don't know if you can hear the wind chimes. They're distracting me a little bit, but
it's
I love it. I just talk about, like, three circles or spheres in your life. Like, you have your profession, you have your passion, and then you have your hobby. And I sort of believe nothing should fill all three. You can have something that fills two, but you shouldn't have something that fills all three.
Because then it's hard to do anything but that one thing. It's like it's the only aspect of your life that is everywhere.
So I always say, like, my career is, like, performing and dance teaching, performing arts. That's my career. And then my passion is also musical theater performing arts.
Right.
So I try to keep the hobby category free
something
of it.
Something else.
That's why I
yeah.
don't like to talk about musical theater all the
I
time.
Know. I think you and I, we've always jived because I'm the same thing.
Yeah.
My hobbies are going to be like things like vintage or like grandma crafts or like
yeah.
other stuff.
I'm like, that's where,
yeah.
like, pop culture fills, like...
That's true! Hence this podcast!
Yeah,
Ooh.
It's like, it's in my hobby category, because
yeah.
And when you're, like, a kid, and you're in
yeah.
school is your career, and
right.
so...
So everything can fit in the other two categories.
Everything
for sure.
can fit in the other two categories,
yeah.
no problem. Like, I was totally kind of an obsessed theater kid.
Oh, I think a lot of kids growing up are.
Growing up,
yeah.
and then I think when I went to Sheridan and... school
right.
became theater.
Yeah.
I sort of had to, like, I tried to transition out of it being a hobby because
right.
I just, if something's filling all three, what happens
yeah.
when it doesn't work out? Like, you
well,
have
that's
nothing
the
left
thing.
Sometimes.
Well, also, I, not to be this person, but I feel more full as a person. I have more to give when it's, I'm not just full of one thing. When I have other things to draw from, to dwell on, to share, I feel like I have more to give and more to be. You know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And thank you for coming to our TED Talk.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This has been our TED Talk on how we think you should all live. Thank you very much.
I mean, I've even heard of the X's and O's. So you make like an X and O grid.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
you
yeah.
should have something to fill all 9 spaces.
Yeah.
That way, if like 4 spaces aren't working out, you still
have more to go on.
Yeah, you still have
yeah.
more to go on.
I guess that's like the...
I go to 3. I'm like the 3 spheres.
The 3, yeah. I guess it's like the journey to trying to be a well-rounded person.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day. And I think like as I've gotten older, that's something I've realized is important to me is like to not just have, for lack of better terms, all my eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, Miss Carly, should we get
Ooh.
Into gassing up our time machine? Because
oh, baby, let's get into it because we've gone on a moment today. We have,
yeah,
we
that's
have a
okay
lot to
though.
Say. No, it's good.
Let's be real. Podcasts are just a series of tangents. Like at the end of the day,
yeah, at the end of the day, we got you here, and you're gonna listen to us. Thank you very much.
All
so,
right,
yeah.
I'm gassing up my time machine.
Let's gas it up. Let's set that 5 minutes on the clock so we can talk about what's happening in today's popular culture.
All right. We ready?
That's ready.
1, 2, 3.
Meow.
Honestly, probably the biggest thing in the news that, in terms of pop culture, because there's lots in the news.
Yeah.
but Meghan McCain left The View.
Ooh, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
So
that's a big deal.
It doesn't seem like it's huge drama. She seems to have left for personal reasons, just...
Yeah.
She said with the pandemic happening, like, she moved to D.C. and she's, like, very happy in D.C. with her part with her
For
husband.
Her, yeah.
And she had her baby, Liberty, so, like, they want to raise their... So as things start
yeah.
to come back, she doesn't want to come back to New York.
Right.
So it seems... pretty,
on good terms.
On good terms.
Yeah.
It's just really interesting because I think a lot of the headlines about The View in the past few years have... always been about Meghan McCain.
Yeah.
Because she's so much drama on the show. Meghan
yeah.
McCain's just a very strong personality.
Right. That's very true.
And sometimes I try to check myself because it's like, I get annoyed with Meghan McCain. But is it just because I disagree with her? Like, is Joy Behar equally annoying? Or...
And yeah, and just because you see maybe more eye to eye, you
don't... Yeah, I, like, don't find Joy...
Annoying.
I don't find Joy annoying
yeah.
because I agree with her. And maybe I'm just... being maybe sexist without like realizing it to
yeah.
Megan because she's loud and abrasive and I'm
right.
like
right and you're like oh that's not for me
yeah that's not for me
because and, what you're saying as well as how you're saying it is not how I want
yeah.
it yeah
but you know what like to be fair to Meghan McCain like as a conservative voice she's actually very liberal like
yeah
she on key issues, it's conservative, but socially, like, she was pro-gay marriage before
yeah,
Obama
lot of other
was.
People were,
yeah.
yeah,
before a lot of Democrats
yeah.
were. And, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if The View is going to lose something without her, because
she's an interesting counterpoint.
She's an interesting counterpoint.
Yeah, she brings an interesting point of view to the conversation, as, you know, like, what is a conversation if it's just the same people with the same views saying the same things all the time?
Well, yeah, you know, I agree.
It's dynamic.
I even find there's the Canadian show The Social, and I just find they all just agree with each other all the time. Because they're all left-wingers. And once again, I agree with most of them, except
for
Melissa. No. I don't know if you watched the show. Melissa drives me nuts. She drives my mom nuts, too.
That's funny.
But, yeah, it's just very interesting that, yeah, on the Canadian talk show, like, they're all... They go from, like, liberal to NDP. Like,
right,
you know,
yeah.
It's...
Yeah, like, they're all left to more
they're
left.
All... It's center left to extreme left.
To left, yeah.
So, it's nice on The View to have a conservative voice. Meghan McCain's just a very divisive personality. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess it's kind of one of those lessons, too, like, you don't have to like everybody, and not everybody has to be for you, but it doesn't mean that their point of view isn't valuable or valid.
No, for sure. It's... You're right. And it's good to hear. I think the left side of society gets into, like, vacuums where all we hear is other opinions that we agree with.
Totally. Yeah, it's such a hard... Sometimes it hits me really hard when I'm like, wait, everyone doesn't think like I do? What do you mean? And it... Because it's easy to surround yourself with people who are agreeable all the time to everything that you believe in, because you usually attract people who are like-minded. But sometimes it's nice to hear somebody who comes from a completely different place and space and has something else to say, and, you know, learn from them. Either, oh, that's an interesting point, maybe I'll take that into consideration, or, oh, that's an interesting point, and that further, you know, solidifies me and my beliefs. So it's valuable either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, except unless it's, like, hate speech. Like, that's where it's, like, that's not valuable and you need to go away. But, you know.
It is interesting, though, that she's leaving The View. And about a year and a half ago, Abby Huntsman left The View. Mm. And when she left, everything seemed really positive. And then I think a year later, probably the NDA expired or something.
Stopped.
And
yeah.
She's been, like, saying that it was the best thing she ever did and how awful the show was. So I wonder if there'll be
a year's time if something's different.
If something's different. Because Meghan McCain does not keep her mouth shut about her opinions.
That's
so
right.
Unless she's signed to an NDA.
Yeah. She'll probably let us have it.
She'll probably let us have it eventually. Yeah.
If there is drama.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Also, quickly, the judge denied Britney Spears, so we're not happy. We ride tomorrow.
That was a good one. That was a good time. Oh, gosh. Well, I guess it's time
to
dive into this week's topic.
Yeah. So we were a little bit inspired by last week's because
yes, we were.
One of the actresses is a major part
actresses.
Of actors.
Actor Serenos. Actor.
Is it actor or actress now?
It's honestly depends on the person. Like some people prefer, they're like, I am actress. Or like people are like, I am actor. Me, I say actor.
Yeah.
Like, I'm an actor. Like, doesn't matter, gender doesn't matter to me, so I'm like, actor.
Yeah.
But either way, this person was brought up in last week's episode. In case you didn't catch last week's episode, it was iconic. It was about Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen, and you should go and listen to it. But first, listen to this episode, and then go listen to that one in case you haven't. But it was, this person will get brought up again, we guarantee you.
Yeah.
But something that is a tie between these two things is the one, the only... Family Channel. And not only that, specifically Family Channel original
programming. So if you grew up in the mid-aughts and you wanted to watch Disney Channel,
you
couldn't.
Canadian,
you couldn't. You couldn't.
No, you didn't have it.
We don't have
to go on a trip to New Jersey with your family and watch That's So Raven.
Yeah.
That's what I had to do.
But you could watch a family channel called Family Channel, and it had all the Disney shows plus Zoe 101
plus some more and So Little Time. So Family Channel, or Family, is a Canadian English language specialty channel. It was launched in 1988, now owned by a company called Wild Brain. Much of the channel's content was heavily sourced, as Eric just greatly pointed out, from the American Disney Channel. But that relationship ended in 2015 with the release of Canada's own version of programming for Canada's Disney Channel.
Yeah.
So it really is like our knowledge of Family Channel is really this like time capsule.
Yeah, you know, like, it doesn't really
Family
exist.
Family Channel goodness. Yeah, it doesn't exist in the same way as it once did. So in between episodes of iconic Disney shows like That's So Raven, Boy Meets World, Even Stevens, and Lizzie McGuire, our TV world on Family Channel occasionally would have other programming that these other syndicates wouldn't have, or they would sometimes get the rights depending on the show.
Well, it's interesting because Family had, with some of these shows, Family had deals with Disney so that the shows would air in the States as well.
Yeah.
And they were... But you could tell there was a quality difference between these shows.
There's some of them are just so Canadian.
So it's also important to understand that Canadian broadcasting rules have laws. So if you are a Canadian channel, 50% of your content has to be Canadian produced.
Yep.
And usually most Canadian channels get around this by the news and other cheaply produced talk shows
or early in the morning children's shows, like different kinds of stuff like that.
So Family Channel, they part of the way that they would do this was sometimes they're in between shows, like you know, a show is a half an hour show is only 20 minutes with commercials, and sometimes they would end the show 5 minutes early, and
so they could air like a music video or something,
or like a little you know, like YTV has the hosts, Sugar and Carlos, like Priyanka was a host.
That's right.
That counts as part of it. So Family Channel had stuff like that. But Family Channel did produce some of its own shows.
Yes, they did. And some of these shows that I specifically, remember standing out from my childhood are exactly fourfold. One, Naturally Sadie. Two, Radio Free Roscoe.
Oh my goodness.
Ooh, deep cut. Three, Are You Afraid of the Dark? And four, Eric, do you want to take this one?
Live in Love with Derek.
Yes!
Live in Love with Derek.
It's so good. Yeah, so these are what we're going to discuss today is this specific line of, amount of shows that were Family Channel programming. You know, original OG programming for Family Channel.
Yeah.
So Naturally Sadie, do you want to start... Let's start with it.
So Naturally Sadie was a Canadian teen comedy drama that ran for three seasons.
Yeah.
From June 24th, 2005 to August 26th, 2007 on the Family Channel.
So it was produced by Decode Entertainment, which is now Wild Brain, who, again, owns the Disney Channel. Or the Family Channel, rather. Who owns the Family Channel. It was created by Barbara Wyckman and developed by Suzanne Bulch and John May.
Yeah, so the plot centers around a 14-year-old named Sadie Hawthorne, who lives with her parents in Whitby, Ontario.
Yes, home of Pal of the Pod, Marissa Dashney.
Yes.
Hometown.
And she wants to be, she's an aspiring naturalist who wants to observe animal behavior. However, the show deals more sort of with her, like, observing human behavior.
As if they were animals.
It's
a really weird lens for children's TV. I remember even watching it as a kid and being like, this girl is giving me big time weird girl, like horse girl energy, and I'm very confused. But I watched it.
Yeah.
Not to shit on our horse girls. I was a fellow horse girl. I understand. But I was like, this girl is giving it hard.
So although it was set in Whitby, Ontario, shout out to Whitby. It was actually filmed in Toronto. And all the school scenes were shot in a Catholic elementary school in Little Italy. And the mall scenes were Dufferin Mall.
Oh my gosh, Dufferino. Good for them. So Sadie treats everything like a big experiment. That's kind of how she approaches high school life. She's like... You know, like that scene in Mean Girls when everyone is at the watering hole at the mall?
At the mall.
It's that but a TV show. Like, that's what this is.
Hi, this is Planned Parenthood calling.
That's literally
Mean Girls.
Mean Girls. She's also a vegetarian. She has a pet tarantula. And she thinks all animals are cute, even if they're ugly or slimy or gross or weird. So she's like, this is the energy she's giving. She's coming to the table. Sadie Hawthorne's coming to the table with this interesting energy. This is our leading lady.
And it starred Charlotte Arnold as Sadie Hawthorne. And Charlotte, if you are a Degrassi fan, also played Miss Holly J on Degrassi.
That's true.
So, yeah. So she played Holly J. Sinclair on Degrassi, The Next Generation, for which she won a Gemini Award for Best Performance in a Children's Youth Program Series
in 2010. Canadian content.
And looking at her credits, yeah. So, like, basically after Naturally Sadie, she would directly go on to Degrassi, The Next Generation, which would lead her into playing her, taking the role of Holly J. Sinclair in both Degrassi Goes to Hollywood, Degrassi Takes Manhattan, and then would later start in the Degrassi spinoff, Degrassi Next Class.
So much Degrassi.
So much Degrassi. And she's won a Young Artist Award and a Gemini Award. Woo!
See, this show, though, as a kid, I would constantly forget what it was called. Because I was constantly getting it confused with another show that was airing on Family Channel, though it was a Discovery Kids show, Darcy's Wild Life, starring Sarah Paxton. Did you ever have that problem?
No.
Because as a kid, I kept getting the two of them confused.
I just felt like this show didn't have an identity.
That's what I mean. It kind of was like all over the place, but also nowhere.
It just like the kind of premise of the show is that she's just a regular high... Like, it's very Lizzie McGuire, in a way.
She's a high schooler, but she loves animals, so she's gonna do a weird, like, Zaboomafoo look at the high schools around her.
I feel like it was very, like, Lizzie McGuire, but with... She had less personality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's... Yeah. Like, Lizzie McGuire was just a slice-of-life show. Like, it really didn't have much of a concept.
No, it was the characters that made it interesting.
The characters were great.
Yeah, and the hijinks they got themselves into.
I would also like to mention that it also starred Jasmine Richards as Margaret, who was Sadie's friend. Now, Jasmine, you might also know her. She was in Camp Rock, starring Demi Lovato and the Jonas Brothers.
Yes.
Jasmine played in Camp Rock. She played Margaret Peggy Dupree, and she's one of like the mean girls like sidekicks.
Yes.
You know? But then she breaks away. Spoiler alert for
anyone who hasn't seen Camp Rock.
If you haven't seen Camp Rock.
Spoiler.
She breaks away and eventually wins the final jam with her own original song.
Good for her.
Now, fun fact about Jasmine. My dad is a high school science teacher. Jasmine went to Iroquois Ridge High School in Oakville, and my dad taught her guitar because my dad taught a guitar course while also teaching science. Yes. And my dad taught her guitar in high school.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's such a weird personal connection.
Yeah, so,
I love that.
You know, 6 degrees of separation. I can get myself to Demi Lovato through Jasmine.
Yeah.
Through my dad and Jasmine Richards.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. That's so fun. We love Demi.
We love Demi.
So next on the table is a little ditty called Radio Free Roscoe.
Radio Free Roscoe!
Which is a Canadian teen comedy drama, which again, for some reason, is a genre that they like a lot, because this Naturally Sadie was a comedy drama, and this is also a teen comedy drama. Radio Free Roscoe was also filmed in Toronto, and also by Decode Entertainment, now Wild Brain.
It first aired August 1st, 2003, and would go on to end on May 27th, 2005.
Created by Will McRobb and Douglas McRobb, this show follows four teens in suburban New Jersey in a town called Roscoe, and they start going to Henry Roscoe High School there when they get fed up with the school's cougar radio dictating unto the masses how to live. Plus, there's, like, drama with the principal, who apparently only cares about the popular kids, And so they decide to create their own pirate radio station called Radio Free Roscoe. It's very, like, rebellious. It's very, like, underground.
That's so interesting, though, that it's a Canadian show, and yet they chose to set it in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Well, originally, it was pitched, I think, to American networks, with it being set in New Jersey, and no one picked it up. But then the Canadian network picked, the Canadian production company picked it up, and they just, even, they originally were going to film in New Jersey and set it in New Jersey, but then when they moved to the Canadian team, they still kept it in New Jersey, but they just filmed it in Toronto.
Oh, sort of like, yeah. Sort of like Schitt's Creek, actually.
Yeah, except Schitt's Creek, they've said that it's a Canadian town.
They never talk about it in the show. There's no... And no. they use some American lingo in the show. They definitely pander to their American audience. And
no, for sure. Oh, I'm not saying they're, like, they're trying to be O Canada about it. They're really not. They're trying to make it ambiguous so that it appeals to an American audience. Absolutely. So smart. But this one, they just fully kept it set in New Jersey, even though it was filmed in Toronto.
Now, what's interesting about Radio Free Roscoe is that where... Naturally, Sadie, and later we'll talk about with Life with Derek, that they were actually co-productions with the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
Radio Free Roscoe was not that, and in the States, aired on a channel called The N, Flock Noggin.
Yep. I don't know what that is.
I do not know what that is.
It also, so the story of the TV show The 14s follows them as they assume radio aliases on their radio show to protect their identities. Because they don't want their, like, high school people to know it's them being all, ooh, the popular kids, they suck, you know? So, it was, I thought it was a good show. I remember thinking it was very daring as a kid. I was like, what, like, I don't know. When did this air? 2003, 2005? Yeah, I was in grade 3 to 5. And I was thinking it was very badass. And I was like, oh my gosh, they're doing this underground thing. And they're going against the norm. Good for them. That's all I remember from this show. I just remember feeling very, like, avant-garde.
Avant-garde.
Which I'm sure it isn't.
No.
I remember thinking that as part of the audience. Being like, this is something. Yeah. So, another piece of programming. We want to move right along.
Yeah.
Is my personal favorite kids show maybe of all time.
The Next Step. No, I'm just kidding, but that is a Family Channel original show.
That is. Is Are You Afraid of the Dark? Now, this one is interesting because it is a Canadian-American horror anthology TV series. It aired on YTV and in the States on Nickelodeon, but it also aired on Family Channel. And I'll get into a little bit of, we'll get into a little bit of it.
Ooh.
So it was filmed in mostly the Greater Montreal area, as well as Richmond, BC. So Canadian content right there. It ran a bunch of different times. So the original version of it ran from 1990 to 1996. So early 90s. And I believe then it was, like, a YTV Nickelodeon thing. And then, in 1999 to 2000, then Family came in, and it was part of Decode Entertainment, I believe, but now Wild Brain, so they helped produce it. And then it was recently brought back again in 2019, and it's still running, and the first season just aired this year. I mean, the second season aired again this year.
Yeah, but it only airs on Nickelodeon now.
Now, yeah. Yes. So it's jumped around a little bit, but it was original programming for Family Channel.
So seasons 1 to 5 were Nickelodeon YTV.
Mm-hmm.
Seasons 6 and 7, mm-hmm, Nickelodeon Family Channel.
Yes.
And then the two most recent seasons, so 8 and 9,
right,
are just Nickelodeon
again. Yeah, so it's very, like, jumping around a little bit, but it's neat. So, it was created by DJ McHale and Ned Candle, and it features the Midnight Society, and it's a group of kids who gather at a secret campfire in the woods at night, and every episode, one member tells a story, and they start the story like this. They go, around the fire. They go, submitted for the approval of the Midnight Society. I call this story. And then they say the story's name and they throw some dust into the fire and it comes up and it goes, shh, and they go, the tale of la 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 la. And apparently they wrote the line, submitted for the approval of the Midnight Society, as like a nod to the Twilight Zone, which I think is pretty neat. Somebody who kind of appreciates sci-fi. Right? I love it. So as a kid who was weirdly into spooky things, probably should have been less interested in them. Now I have a ghost comedy podcast, so this is what happens. I loved it. I thought it was so scary. It was so freaky. There were so many good episodes. It was just like weird. And through the episodes, as the kid would tell the story, someone would recreate it. Like they would kind of like, it was like being acted out, and it was really fun.
Yeah. To be fair, I never watched this show. I'm a scaredy cat.
It is scary.
I would never have handled this well as a child.
No, it's not. It's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah, nope. Not for me.
My cousin, she just told me this yesterday, actually, which I think is so funny. My cousin brought this show up, and I was like, yeah, it's iconic. And she said, do you remember the episode? This is for all the people who have seen this show, Iconics. Iconic people. I love you. She said, do you remember the episode when they had, like, China dolls and the dolls came to life at night? And I said, oh, my God, yeah, that was terrifying. And she said, yeah, I used to have, like, porcelain dolls all over my room. And then after I saw that episode, they were gone the next day. She's like, I'm not having these dolls come to life when I'm asleep. I was like, that's correct.
Yeah, it's going to be so a no good. For me, dog.
Yeah, it's not, it's for children, but it's also, like, it's also horror for children. It's amazing. I loved every second. But perhaps the most important show we've come here to discuss today.
Oh, the most. And our link to Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen. That's right.
The reason this was even an idea in the first place is the one, the only,
Living Life with Derek. Oh, sorry. It's just called Life with Derek. But the theme song would go, Living Life with Derek.
So this is a Canadian TV sitcom, which is a different genre than we've had so far, which I appreciate.
Yeah, so it had 4 seasons, and it ran roughly from September 18th, 2005, to March 25th, 2009.
That's a pretty good
That's a pretty good run.
Yeah.
If there's a pinnacle of Family Channel shows that also appeared on the Disney Channel in the States.
Oh, yeah.
Life with Derek is the
one. It's the one. Yeah, because it did appear on the Disney Channel in the States. And I think it had a lot more staying power and personality than Naturally Sadie.
Yeah, Naturally Sadie also appeared on the Disney Channel. However, the minute Naturally Sadie ended, they stopped reruns. They didn't play it. But Life with Derek, they kept playing in syndication because it was somewhat popular.
Yeah, they were like, okay, we'll keep it around. People are watching this. So, Life with Derek. It stars Michael Cedar and the one, the only, our link for today,
Miss Ashley Leggett.
Yes!
Canadian queen.
Canadian queen.
Canadian Hamilton Burlington queen.
Local queen.
I don't know if there's any connection, but if you go around Burlington, there's a lot of dealerships, like car dealerships and businesses that say Leggett on it.
Maybe it's her family.
And I think it's her family.
It
like,
probably is.
Yeah.
That's probably a good chance of that.
Also, we have a connection to Miss Ashley Leggett.
We do, yeah.
Yeah, so Ashley Leggett was a Theater Aquarius Performing Arts Program alumni who would often work with Lou Zampronia, who trained both of us.
Yeah, in our that young, program as well.
In that program as well.
Yeah,
and yeah, she was, she made her professional theater debut playing Marta in Theater Aquarius' production of The Sound of Music, which famously starred friend of the pod, Jessica Clement.
That's so true. Oh my
However,
God.
This is not the version with, I think Theater Aquarius has done
it
3 times. They've done it 3 times.
Yeah.
So the Liesl in each one was, it was Amanda Zampronia the first time.
Yes.
And then, what's her name? Alex Diggins.
Yeah,
the second time in this version was Alex Diggins.
That's right.
And then finally was a friend of the pod, Steph Lawler.
Yes. Oh my my God, that's so true.
Sorry, that's a complete
that's a
podcast
circle.
Chan.
Yeah, that's a little
tangent.
Chain. Yeah.
But yeah.
That's so funny.
So yeah, our connection to Ashley Leggett is that we both went through the Lou Zampronia program. Mm.
And know a ton of people that she's worked with.
Yeah.
In it, because of their people that we've worked with and know and are friends with.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And her, like, big film feature debut was Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen.
Oh, yeah. It was her moment. It was her moment to stand next to Megan Fox. For sure.
And dance better than Megan Fox.
And dance better than her and just be amazing. Yeah, obviously.
Oh, I also did see Ashley Leggett live play Baby in Toronto's production of Dirty Dancing, Mervish's production.
That's right. I saw that too. I have a shirt from it in my closet upstairs. It says Kellerman's right across it. So Ashley Leggett and Michael Cedar star as the two oldest children in a step family. There's 70 episodes of this gold, and it also inspired a spinoff in 2010, a movie called Vacation with Derek, which I never saw. And also in 2020, they announced a spinoff series that's set 15 years later called Life with Luca, as they've been doing with, you know, all the shows from the early aughts in the 90s.
So can we talk about the premise of this show?
Absolutely. I want to talk about the whole family, the dynamic. Should we get into it?
Because let's just say that the whole premise of the show is a will they, won't they get together between two step siblings.
It's also kind of a like...
So it's porn. That is one of the most popular porn categories is step siblings.
It's also like, yes, but. I'll say also yes, but. It is, for the most part of the seasons, it's a, we hate each other, we hate each other, until it's a will they, won't they.
Wink, wink, yeah. There's a lot of sexual tension.
There is piles of it. And I'm going to talk about the scene that specifically people reference, because it's so much. But first, let's talk about the premise. So... it's a step family, right? So George...
it's the Brady Bunch.
It's a Brady Bunch, but, you know, in the early aughts. He has three kids. He has sons Derek and Edwin and a daughter Marty, and they're from London, Ontario. And he marries Nora, who has two daughters, Casey and Lizzie, and they're from Toronto. The Toronto family, the mom and Casey and Lizzie, move to London to be with their new family and their step-siblings, and Casey was really mad leaving the big city... and she really was unimpressed. Like, this is the pilot, basically. She hates it until she realizes that her mom really loves her new husband. And she's like, oh, okay, I guess we're here to stay. So, but she also thinks Derek is really annoying. And, like, is, like, immature. He's, like, a class clown type. And
yeah.
She's like,
and she
I
is,
am so cool for school. I am, like, hardworking. And,
she
like,
is, she is, like,
type A.
Type A.
Yeah,
there's a
time.
Whole episode of her being a grade grubber.
Yeah.
And everybody points at her. Grade grubber.
I forgot about that. That's so funny. Yeah, it's something. And yeah, so it really is a bit of a will they, won't they. I also have a personal connection to the show. A girl I went to elementary school with was an extra in the birthday party episode. And I couldn't tell you how jealous my, like, grade... when did this air? My grade, like, 7-6 self was. I was like, I wanna be in the birthday party episode. I wanna be here. It was fine. It's okay, Lena. You were great. We all watched it.
Going back to the cast a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Lizzie, who is the younger sister of Casey.
Yes.
Was played by Jordan... Toddsy. Oh my goodness, I should have been more
prepared.
Didn't
write it
down. Who famously played transgender teen Adam Torres in Degrassi The Next Generation.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, Degrassi. He's doing so much.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that.
That's cool. That is something for sure.
And Michael Cedar played
Derek. Yes. I loved Michael Cedar growing up. I thought he was so... I love a class clown type. I was like, he's so funny and silly. And I could be type A. Yeah.
who also starred in Degrassi Goes Hollywood. Ooh. With Holly J herself.
That's right. I mean, crossovers on crossovers, your baby. I mean, low-key, it's Degrassi. Everyone's been on it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're in this crowd, you're in this crowd, and everyone does Degrassi at some point. Including our pal of the pod, Jess.
We love you, Jess. Come on the pod.
Jess, be our guest.
Jess, be our guest.
Be our Jess. Be our Jess.
Oh, goodness. We are too much.
Be our Jess.
But you know that this, will they, won't they, is such... It's so famous.
Yeah, it really is.
But there's fanfic. Like, you can find... I
haven't looked, but I've
erotic
heard about it.
Fanfic of life with Derek.
Well, can I tell you, like, a good example of this? Like a scene that is, like, forever quoted, forever, like... There's, like, it's been tweeted out, like, all this stuff. It's a scene, I think, closer to the end of the series, and when they're going off to, like, university. Mm-hmm. And she goes, "You're the most annoying brother." And he goes, "Step brother." And she goes, "Same difference." And he goes, "Yeah, all right." And then they look longingly at each other, and this is on CBC Gem.
I was gonna say this. You can't find this on Disney Plus, but you can find Life with Derek on CBC Gem. But you can also find full episodes on YouTube.
Oh my God, they're not paying attention.
They're not paying attention on YouTube.
Nobody tell them. I remember watching it as a kid though, and I shipped it. I still do. I was like, they're not related.
Yeah.
They convinced me. I was like, they're not related.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's not wrong, but it's weird. It's odd for a kid's show.
It's a choice.
It's a real choice. Because let's be real, Gossip Girl did the same thing. Like,
yeah.
Spoiler alert. Dan and Serena are step siblings, and they end up together too. Yeah. But
I think it's like one thing to set it up like it's step siblings that grew up together, because there's a sibling bond there. That's weird. But to set it up as like two families come together and they're like, they don't, you know.
I just think
hanging out, and
it's weird for a kids show.
It's
That's
totally
my only
weird
thing.
For a kids show, but it was a choice, and it planted a seed in a whole generation of that's not that weird. They did it,
yeah,
which is so funny,
too good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it would eventually have a spinoff television film entitled Vacation with Derek.
Yeah. What was that about? Do we have a synopsis on that? Because I didn't go down that rabbit hole.
Casey and Derek are back and continue their sibling rivalry during a family vacation to visit their grandmother, Felicia. Oh my gosh.
Okay, Felicia.
At her beautiful lakefront lodge, things heat up with Casey when she meets Jess, a young dancer who happens to be a waiter at the lodge. Okay, so it's Dirty Dancing. It's okay. High School Musical is just Grease.
High School is Grease.
Meanwhile, as Derek is chilling on his vacation, he falls for Roxy, the rich girl who lives across the lake. Ooh. But when Roxy's father, a greedy land developer, threatens to destroy the natural beauty around them.
Okay, so it's Cheaper by the Dozen too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, with Eugene Levy.
The family's kids bond together to save their lake and the lodge. And with a little help from George and Nora, who are having a baby, too.
What? Drama. Wow. That's really, they packed a lot into that movie. Good for them. I don't know if that's on CBC Gem, but I know the series is, that's for sure.
Do you think the movie, like, played on Disney Channel? Because
the show did.
Yeah, well, no, it would have been, because it would have been 2010, which was before 2015.
Yeah, so it would, I think. Well, but the...
Eric's just thinking out loud.
Yeah. Well, I think, I'm not sure if the 2015 deadline, I guess it would go both ways, because I mostly thought about it as 2015 means that Family Channel has to stop airing Disney Channel stuff, but I guess it would probably mean that Disney Channel would also end Family Channel stuff.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because Life with Derek isn't on Disney Plus.
That's true, which makes which I guess would make sense that because that relationship was is no longer. Interesting. Well, the more you know, we love to learn. And here's a here's been a little peek into the whole, you know, pile that is the Family Channel original programming, and you know, some of the really significant ones that we remember from the early aughts and think that are honestly still culturally relevant in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Some others that people may have heard of course, The Next Step, which is a dance program on Family Channel. What other ones?
They also, apparently they also did Franklin, you know, like the turtle, like the book.
They also aired Degrassi Next Class, which is a sequel to Degrassi The Next Generation, because basically Degrassi went off of, like, CTV.
Yes.
So then they just start, like, rebooted it, but not, not all really. The same actors on Family Channel. Yeah. Also, Family Channel now runs shows largely by DreamWorks. Once the Disney partnership
is no longer.
So, yeah, I think that brings us to the end of our discussion on Living Life with Derek.
Put a little bow on it. We got it done. Yeah.
We love
it. It's so funny. Yeah, we're touched back down in the present, and
talking about The Next Step, which is still currently on.
Well, yeah. So there we go. We love to see it. We love to chat it.
All right. Carly, do you have any pop picks?
I sure do. I got a couple. My first one is going to be a little bit of a self-plug, if I don't mind if I do myself.
Self-plug away.
It's going to be my upcoming Hamilton Fringe show. Tickets are now available at hamiltonfringe.ca. It is myself and pal of the pod, Patrick Teeds, theater company called Afterlife Theater that we've just established. We are doing a show, a digital show, which can be accessed anywhere in the world. And it's called It's a Beautiful Day for Brunch and to Arrest the Cops That Killed Breonna Taylor. And we're billing it as Racial Injustice's New Fave Cringe Comedy. So, if that is at all interesting to you, buy a little ticky tick. You can. It's out there now.
We love it.
We love it.
Buy your ticks.
Also, my other thing that I've been, has been noodling around in my brain and hasn't left for a few days now, is that I've just been listening to a lot of Shania Twain. If you just want to, like, have a good time, you'll you put on This Is Shania, you know, like the Spotify
playlist,
and you're not gonna have a bad time. I guarantee you, it's gonna be great. I have thought up a whole plot for a Shania musical in my brain, and I am ready to pitch it to Shania. So Shania, if you're listening, please, I'm ready to pitch you a musical for your music.
Isn't it just the plot of Eliza Rocks?
No.
Eliza Rocks.
Just because it was, just because the musical I wrote in grade 12 was inspired by that one scene in that movie, and this is inspired by that show that I wrote then, doesn't mean that this is inspired by Eliza Rocks. I guess it kind of does. But anyways, Shania, let me write you a show. Thank you, and be in it, and I'm the lead. Thank you. There's a role for you too, don't worry.
Yay!
Eric, what's your pop picks this week, my pal?
Okay, so I'm going to kind of repeat myself a little bit.
We love to hear it.
A few weeks ago, I said Sailor Moon Eternal, the film, is my pop pick. Mm-hmm. But now Netflix has put on all of Sailor Moon Crystal.
I saw so that. Now, you posted about
it. Yeah, so now you can watch the first three seasons of Sailor Moon Crystal, which then lead into the movie, the two films of Sailor Moon Eternal, so you won't be as confused.
There you go.
So that is my pop pick. I know it's kind of a repeat, but
It ties in.
Let me give you one more just because, you know, Carly gave two.
I gave two, and Eric wants to give two, too.
Mine was a bit of a, you know, a repeat. But what am I listening to a lot?
What are you listening to? Let us know. Give it to us.
Oh, I'm going to be really, this is maybe even late to the party, but good for you by Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, it's slap.
Oh, and I'm watching Love, Victor. Love, Victor is really good, too.
Okay.
But I'm a little bit annoyed because Hulu, they released every episode at once, whereas Disney Plus in Canada is releasing them weekly. So I'm a little bit annoyed.
Oh, you're behind the times.
Yep.
Yeah, you have to go week by week.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're just encouraging us to pirate it.
I really can't do the week by week anymore. I want to watch it all at once.
Yeah.
I want the big drops. I also don't want the part two drops because I also watched season two of Too Hot to Handle on Netflix.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, baby. And it came in two parts and I was pretty pissed. I just wanted to watch it. It's garbage TV. I want to watch it all at once.
Yeah.
Split up my garbage TV.
The only thing I can wait weekly for is Drag Race.
Yeah, I can do with that. There's so much of it that I need a week to recover.
It is relentless, Drag Race.
Oh, I know.
I mean, we love it.
Bombarded with it.
Team Jan.
Jan Sport every day. We're feeling the Jantasy.
We're feeling. Oh, Jan. Janicey, get in the May.
I am into you.
Also, I the lip sync between Trinity and LaGonja was everything.
We could have taken like more than 5 minutes to talk about that off the top of the show. It was something.
And so happy LaGonja got a bit of a redemption.
I know, a little moment to shine. Iconic.
Yeah.
And that's what an amazing thing to not have to like sign up for actually doing All Stars, but to just show up, show out, and leave.
And she got to say, "Come on, All Star 6, let's get sickening."
Yeah, which was the best thing ever. Who doesn't want to see that? And she pulled an Aja and jumped from the heavens. It was amazing.
Yeah.
The stunts, the tricks, the dolls, they brought it.
All right. Well, we are going to leave you now. Keep ingesting that pop culture because, believe it or not, it's history.
Ooh!
Or herstory.
Oh, yes, baby.
Free Britney.
Yep.
All right. See you later.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Yeah.